Welcome, everyone, to the New Groton Fellowship in Groton, Vermont.
Amen.
On this beautiful Sunday morning.
You know, one thing about, Charles talks about the train. See, you won't stay on the train if you're still about yourself. You get on the train because you leave yourself behind. And if we do that, you see, that is where we... let me just read to you in Romans here. I'll tell you the one verse here, but we'll go back up and read it. Since we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. And you see, the call of the train is this. I mean, we can picture a train and everything. And the Lord is moving, and that's the context, the sense of that train and everything. But if we want to be on that train, then it's because we choose to love God, not ourselves, and walk in accordance with his purposes and give up our own. You see, and when we do this because, one, it's a choice we make. And two, it's a choice we make because we believe that he can perform it in us. And so we walk it out in that, right? And one mistake I made, and I think I know others have made it, is to anticipate things feeling different. And the truth is they're not going to. And that's what's caught us up, you see, in the past, is our feelings. This is a choice we're making by faith. So if you go back up in chapter 8, it says, starting with verse 24, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not, that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." You see, we're in a time for those who have chosen Christ Jesus and to enter into, to stand in the vine being, allowing his lifeblood and his Holy Spirit to pour out of us. And we do that by faith because you know what? My flesh is, like Steve has said, many times, is the cross I have to bear. But it's not what I'm going to allow to rule me. And that's a choice I make. The interesting thing about both Joshua and Herod that Charles read is notice that Herod said, John the Baptist, this is John the Baptist raised from the dead. Now, isn't that interesting? He had a knowledge of the resurrection of the dead, which was a Jewish truth, right? In Rahab's time, when Rahab went in, they knew that the land they dwelt in, God had given to the Israelites, and they knew that 40 years prior, what God had did against the Egyptians to bring Israel out, and now he was going to do it to them. And only one person said, "Can I be a part of that family?" But the testimony was there. The testimony was there with Herod. That's an amazing thing that he knew the resurrection of the dead. Jesus hadn't been raised yet. We knew there were some Old Testament resurrections. But so it is. You know, I'll just tell you, Israel, the reason why everybody hates Israel ever in that area is because they know that Israel is God's chosen people. And instead of submitting and coming to the Lord on his terms, they stand hard against. And you see, that's what we do when we don't submit. We are no different. But we've chosen to submit. I mean, Linda and Roger maybe are at a place where the Lord is calling them to do so. A few others, too. I'm not going to claim everybody here has chosen the Lord, but pretty much that's what we have chosen to do, have we not? And so now we go forth by faith, in that choice. And it, and let's just read down through Romans. So it says, for if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, our hope is based on this. Our hope is based on a God that knows us, a God who intercedes for us. And John 17 showed how that worked. Jesus interceded for those whom God had given him, and then he interceded for those who would believe on their word. That's where we're at. Are we going to believe on his word? Now, we've said we are, but now we have to exercise ourselves to do it. Putting off the old man, and that's an interesting point, because one thing we have to do in that putting off is to recognize that if we have put it under the cross of Jesus Christ, and if his blood has washed us clean, let us walk in that newness of life. Our sin, you see, we can't do anything about. You think you're not a sinner? You think somebody else is a sinner? Let me tell you, we're all sinners. We can't do anything about our sin. But Christ did something for us. He died for it. He took the punishment for it. And when we receive him, we receive that. That he actually paid the price. He paid the price for your sin. You don't have to. You don't have to. But then we have to actually give testimony to that, not with our mouths just, but by standing in that forgiveness. So if somebody comes up to us and wants to point out our sin, well, if we have a place of repentance, let's repent. But where are we standing? We're standing in his forgiveness. We're standing clothed in his righteousness, understanding we have none of our own. And so we don't receive it. And you know what? When we don't receive it, that's the best thing we can do for the person that is our accuser. That's where we minister the gospel to them. That's where we exercise ourselves in love. It is humbling to stand as a sinner, forgiven, because God just simply paid the price. It doesn't justify our sin. Justifies us. Not our sin, though. We're not vindicated. We're not proven right. We're not right. We got to get past the need to be proven right. We're not right. We're wrong. Through and through, in our natural man, we're wrong. There is nothing right about us. So we have to get past the fact that we're not right. And you know what? It gives us the freedom to get past the fact that others aren't. Right? That means me. You get to forgive me, and I get to forgive you. That's called love. And we get to understand and discern sin and not give place to sin, but not condemn a sinner because they're a sinner. I mean, if we condemn a sinner because they're a sinner, we condemn ourselves. I mean, that's the truth. He's going to be merciful to me as I'm merciful to another. So if I'm going to condemn a sinner for their sin, you think God ain't going to throw me in prison till I paid every whit the price for my own? And I'll never pay it, therefore I'll never get out. The exit out of that prison was paid for on the cross. So let's get out of that prison. And let's stand in him and serve him meekly, meaning humbly. Not because we're sinless in our natural man. Not because we're better than anyone else. Because we're not. In our natural man. But when we're in Christ Jesus, it's not us better, but we get to partake of his perfect good. And stand, that it might be made manifest to sinners. can we receive the love of God and not want to give it? You see, if we do that, we're not His. We're not His. That it doesn't mean we don't stand against sin. And if a person is going to hold on to their sin, that we stand against them, right? But it was, Jesus doesn't desire anyone to go to hell. He did not make hell for me, and He did not make hell for you. So let's not be about condemning people to hell and being pleased at that thought. And there's been that kind of behavior. We have a God who maketh intercession for His saints. We are needy people. You know, in Joshua, he told the people in the end, they couldn't serve God. Well, you know what? We can't serve God in our natural man. We do it by faith, choosing with our will, by in our mind, to serve the law of Christ, while our flesh remains serving the law of sin. We gotta allow that separation, that sword to separate us from our flesh, and give it no heed, no place, no consequence, if we're going to go forth as a unit. Because that unit is in Christ Jesus. That's what makes the unit. That's what makes the oneness. It's not something we do in our flesh. It's something we do despite our flesh, so to speak. And we have a God who makes intercession for us in accordance with our need. Man, we have a good hope. We have a good hope. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's choosing Him over everything, including our flesh. That's the one that's hard. Our ways. Our feelings. We got a heck of a lot of feelings that rail against the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We can get caught up in how rank, despicable, and much of failures we are, can't we? We are in our natural man, so let's just put it off and nevertheless stand and go forth. That's what this has been about. Karen came forth and sat at a keyboard, not because she feels at all adequate. I'm pretty certain I'm absolutely right on that. I suspect not only does she not feel adequate, but she feels about as inadequate as you can get, unless you're somebody like me who can't even play a keyboard and sing on key, which is more inadequate. Charles gets up by faith, not because he himself believes that he can speak the word of God, but the Lord has told him to do so. And so by faith he stands and trusts the Lord and does so. That's what standing is. And it's humbling. Karen and Charlie could come up here and attest to that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This was His purpose that they performed. So see, this is where all the promises of God are yes and amen. Notwithstanding all the things that say otherwise. And I say that to Charles, who I can't see. But all the promises are yes and amen if you're about His purposes. And I know, because I know myself, but I know because I know Charles, that he doesn't always feel like he's about God's purposes even when he's performing them. Like, that might have been true of today, I don't know. I'm sure it's true sometimes when he has to work with some of us with computers or bring forth the different provisions we need and everything. I'm pretty certain he's not always full of joy in getting to be a part of that provision, but he does it. And you know what, Charles? You can look at this verse and praise God and know it and have a hope because of it. Because you are in that, you choose to love God and to be called according to His purpose. I mean, that's how it works. It's not a matter of how you feel, because our feelings testify against us, either to how great we are because we do it, which is one of them, or how pitiful we are, because look at how our attitude is in the midst of what we're doing. I know Steve said to me the other day, to take time, seek the Lord, and do it heartily. And then he said, when you're done, what you do with the rest of your day, do it heartily. Now, that meant in the context of that day that I came back down and partook with Megan and the four children. And so when I was not with them, I was to spend that time heartily as unto the Lord. But when I came back down, that which was to be done then was to be done equally as heartily as unto the Lord. And it's not a matter of what I want to do, because when you're around little children, you're pretty much ministering to them, even if it is requiring of them to allow you to do what you need to do or to cause them to do what they need to do. It's still a time spent in ministry that doesn't, like, rotate around what you want to do. But you do it, and you do it heartily as unto the Lord. I mean, there is nothing more wonderful than serving the Lord, is there? So whatever it is, if your mother asks you to do something and you're a servant of God, having chosen to love God and be called according to his purposes, you do it heartily as though you're doing it for the Lord. That's what you do. That's how you do it. That's the choice you make. And it's not going to be one that your flesh suggests. Just so you know. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that's also what we have been learning in 1 John chapter 2, and because I probably will not quote it correctly, I'll go there. It says, in verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You see, and we can do that. He walked in perfect obedience, but so do those who are called according to God's purposes. How the heck can you do his purposes unless you find out what they are and then do it obediently? Right? That's what Jesus did, and in doing that, we are conformed to his image. We then, I've lifted Jesus up. You know, we rightly represent him so that people can see him for who he honestly is. Right? He's not a God that says you have to change your ways in the sense of, you know, you have to eat this, wear that, do this, stop doing that. He's a God that wants you to accept his forgiveness and then choose to enter into his kingdom and allow and give up your own ways. And your own ways aren't, well, I don't eat sugar, or I don't smoke, or I've never tasted whiskey. I'm not sure if I ever have, but I've tasted other things. I mean, I have. You know, I've had a beer, and I've had wine. I've even had vodka in mixed drinks before, but I think I probably tried whiskey. I don't know. But those aren't the things. Those have nothing to do with it. Those are the righteousness of man. We want to what Jesus came when he was on this earth, he came and brought reconciliation. That's what he came to do. He came to reconcile the world unto himself. That's what he brought. Not condemnation. Reconciliation. That's what we're supposed to bring. If we're his image, we offer reconciliation to God. Can we do that? Can we? Then we will do it, right? See, the one thing that happened with the children of Israel who came out of Egypt is they did not mix the word of God with faith. You see, and so we've been stuck not mixing the word of God with faith because, lots of reasons. I'm not like that. I can't do that. I'm too afraid. But I always fail. Or just simply doing our own thing, never getting around to it. And I think that's a pretty big one. They never got around to it. And as we know, their children entered in because they, by the fear of God, they departed from evil. They decided to actually believe God. He said, you can take it. They went in and took it. We're saying we can take it. Let's mix it with faith. Let's not forget that we can. Let's put off the old man. Let's accept the mercy of God, which is new every morning, because dang it, we need it. We need it. I need it. You need it. We all need it. It is in there that we love one another, because we're about receiving the things that God has for us. He sent the people who had already possessed their land on the one side of Jordan to go before their brethren to bring, to fight for them that they might possess their land too. That's actually what he's calling us to do. We should now be standing in a place of possession. And he's asked us to go before others, that they too can possess the inheritance of God. That's what he's asking us to do. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Are we willing to stand in that? If God is for me, am I going to give any place to anybody who is against me? I mean, that's really where I have to decide to mix it with faith. It's a question. It's a question, and the answer is, it's really my choice if anybody can be against me. Because it's whether I receive their testimony and their garbage and their accusations. Right? But if God is for me, and he has reconciled himself to me, and he has said, you know, he has forgiven me, like the adulterous woman where everybody was standing around her with stones, waiting to kill her, waiting for Jesus to give him the word that, yep, she deserves it. He actually told her to, he didn't condemn her, but to go and sin no more. That's what he said. Neither, where are your condemners? Now, Jesus stands right here with me, right? Where are my condemners? Who wants to stand against me and ask the Lord to condemn me for sins that I did commit? I mean, it wasn't a question of whether she was an adulteress. That wasn't the question. There was no argument over that. If God is for me, who the heck can be against me? And when he says to me, neither do I condemn you, but he also says, go and sin no more. And that's where I have to come and humbly submit myself unto him. And the humbleness is, you know what? Even as Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. And in my natural man, I can't. I mean, it is frightening to me, because I'll just tell you, there's some places in my life that I know that, left to myself, I'm going to screw up mightily. And there are important places in my life that, I'll just tell you, they're the places I want to screw up the least. You know what I mean? And I can't do it in my own natural man. I have to cleave unto the Lord to be able to do and stand and perform his word, that which actually is the desires of my heart can come to pass. They that wait upon the Lord, you know, he'll renew our strength. We will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not grow weary. You see, how can I be weary waiting on the Lord? Man, Elijah ran ahead of Ahab in his chariot. And that was after standing. I mean, have you ever stood, first of all? I suppose everybody has in a way, but also many haven't in any way. But if you've stood, you actually want to probably go rest, regroup, maybe eat some good meat or something. Jesus never did. I mean, he was like under a constant barrage of having to stand, you know? I mean, when he rested was when everyone else was sleeping, if you think about it. Elijah just stood against the prophets of Baal, stood with nobody having any strength or courage on their own but him, made the prophecy that rain was coming at God's word with no evidence of that, and then he actually had the strength to run faster than a dang chariot. That's a person who mixed the word of God with faith. And then by God's mercy, God lifted him up again when he got down. In Jude, and I just want to say the promises of God are only for those who are God's. And whether we're God's or not is our choice. God wants everybody to be his. But it's our choice whether we're his. So if you go to the, in Jude's a book of 25 verses, and interestingly, for those who don't know, Jude was Mary and Joseph's son. Jesus was Mary's son. Jude was his half-brother. And as was John, there's a book of John, I mean James, and a book of Jude. These were his brothers. They shared the same mother, but not the same father. And going to verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's a choice we make, and it's a choice we make against the fact that we don't deserve it, and that we screwed up and we failed, and nevertheless, we keep ourselves in it. See, that's where we humbly submit and accept the complete and total sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb. It's never going to be deserved by us, ever, ever, ever. So we're going to have to just stand in it because he freely gave it to us. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When we enter in, if we do, it'll be because of his mercy. That's how we're going to enter in, because he is a merciful God, a God who forgives us our sin. And if some have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Can you mix that with faith? Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. The only thing that I can give to God the Father is to walk in the knowledge that he is able to keep me from falling and to present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. See, that's where he gets his joy. Is that if I will actually humbly submit to the salvation that he has provided, walk in it by faith, and by the power of his resurrection, by the fact that he has equipped me with everything I need, right? He washed me with his blood. When I died unto myself, he took me out of the kingdom of this world, and he translated me into his kingdom, setting me free from this world, taking that knife and severing from me the flesh that is my cross that I have to bear, that keeps me humble. It doesn't exalt me. Does yours exalt you? So, I mean, cool. We got that one settled. We can move on, right? So settle it, though, if it isn't settled, right? And move on, right? If I will do this and believe God and trust him for it and go forth because he is with me, not because I am anything, and in the day, if I, like Paul, say, I have finished my race, I have kept the faith, then he presents me faultless. That's That's the only thing I can give him. That's the only thing I can give him, is to submit to him that he can perform this in me so that he can present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's the only thing I can give him, is that. And in that, if I will do it, I lift him up and he's able to draw others and they'll be strengthened to know they can do it. And he presents a whole bunch of people faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I mean, he hung on a cross and suffered to bring this to pass. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. This is our God. Oh, man. This is the God that is with us. This is the God that died to save the people that are not yet, don't yet know. He even died to save the Muslims. And they hate him, just like everybody else hates him, because they're not exalted. I mean, they have to submit to the fact that, yep, Abraham's their father, but Isaac ain't. And it was through Isaac that all nations were going to be blessed, not Ishmael. Well, you know, get over it. It's not about me, and it's not about them, and it's not about you. It's about him. And we all have our Isaacs that we rebel against because it doesn't glorify us. Not the right family, not the right looks, not the right economic bracket, not the right education, not the right house. If you go back to Hebrews, because I have said it before, in 13:17, the only gift I can give those who have the rule over me is that same obedience to the faith that is the only gift I can give Jesus Christ. And even as Jesus suffered that I might live, so do they suffer that I might live. And so when it says, obey them that have the rule over you in chapter 13, verse 17, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The only thing I can give those who watch for my soul, now isn't that pretty dang nice that somebody's watching for my soul? I actually need that. And all he asks me to do is to obey them that do that. They're watching for me. God is, they are accountable to God for me. That's because God loves me enough to put somebody over me to watch for me, to come and bring the, visit me with the word that I can be kept and be made that person who is able to be presented faultless. I cannot do it on my own. I cannot even do it in Christ Jesus on my own. I need the brethren, and I need those who have the rule over me. I need the exhortation, the admonition, the correction, the reproof. I need it. It does me no good unless I obey and submit myself. For they watch for their souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Jesus died for me. It's up to me to allow his death to actually redeem me. That's my choice. It's a humble choice. Because you know what? The rest of this day, in the fellowship of the saints, people are going to see me. I ain't glorious in my own natural man. And tomorrow, anybody who sees me will say, oh yeah. But I can submit. I can repent. I can walk by faith. I can know that God is able. But not just because it's great swelling words of man's wisdom or vain words that I spout out because I know the Word of God, and most everybody in here can spout a heck of a lot of the Word of God. But it's because I'm choosing to do it. I'm mixing it with faith and believing it for myself and repenting, getting back up again and doing it. Whatever it is, no matter what, and you will fall. Praise God. There was only one spotless person. And it isn't you, and it isn't me. But He paid a price sufficient to cleanse us and give us a chance over and over and over again. And all He asks is that we humble ourselves to it and submit ourselves to it and then get up and obey it. So, God bless everybody.